The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. This is Bernadette Fiaschetti, that rhymes with spaghetti, with Ronaldo Davis. I never say my last name, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. Have you ever heard me say that, Ronaldo?
No, I haven't.
Well, it really is. So it's got double T's in spaghetti and Fiaschetti. So yeah, I used to say that when I was a kid. So great to have everyone listening. Great to be here. Ronaldo and I are doing the show again today. Feels really good, though. It does. You know, I've not been alone in the studio ever. Yesterday was my first time doing the show by myself with just a board op, and I'm actually kind of liking it, actually, you know, stretching myself a little bit and during difficult times, you know, finding my inner strength. And that's always good. It's a good feeling. But we have an incredible show coming up today. We've got Jill Lane here in just a minute. She is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach and founder of Fueling Champions. Sam Morris is coming up. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project. And DeJuan Bennett, one of our favorites here on One Life Radio, along with many others, including Jill. He is a licensed professional counselor, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, like what to do when you don't like your partner. I think that's really funny, don't you?
Yeah.
that's a tough spot, especially if you're married, right?
It really is, yes.
Well, but I do think that people, you know, like each other sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember someone telling me, it was my friend Andrea, and she asked her grandparents, what was the secret of staying together all the years that they were together? And he said, well, I guess neither one of us fell out of love with one another at the same time. And so, you know, there's something to think about, right? Something to contemplate. And so keep that in mind, you guys. But Sam Morris, another guy that is just incredible. You know, we're going to be talking about the similarities between rehab and quarantine. I'm very anxious to talk to Sam. He's a super great guy. He really is. He's had a long journey and sometimes a very painful journey, but he's risen above it. And he is truly a brave heart and a kind heart. I'm looking forward to him. And as I said, I've got Jill Lane on the line. She is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. How are you doing today, Jill?
Hey, great to be with you again, Bern.
Yeah, I always love having you on the show. And for those that don't know, that maybe are a new listener from California or here in Dallas, we're on in California on KMET in Southern California in five counties. But maybe if you're first time listening, but Jill's been on the show from the very beginning. We met in the studio, actually, the first time she was on the air. And she's friends with Kip Watson and Tina Burnett and a lot of other regulars on the show. And so I asked her to call in today to talk about this article that I found, 11 natural remedies for anxiety, because I don't know about any of y'all out there, but I have been dealing with a lot of anxiety lately, and I know a lot of people have. It's just the sign of the times, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think the most important thing for people to know is that experiencing anxiety occasionally is a normal part of life. You know, mm-hmm. it's a normal part of our body's response. The thing is to know when it's becoming something that's starting to control your life, because people that start to have anxiety disorders or even to the extreme panic attacks, their anxiety starts to get in the way of them doing their normal daily things.
Absolutely.
They can't stop thinking about the worrying and or the depression or the physical symptoms of the anxiety, like the racing heart and the tight chest and the worry and the even sweating for some people, mm-hmm. start to get in the way of their daily life. So it's important to know where you are on that spectrum.
Absolutely. And it snowballs on you. And I speak from personal experience. I started to experience anxiety disorder. I'm a little anxious right now. Talking about it. I'm sort of joking. But yeah, I mean, it's a big subject, and it can spiral on you or snowball on you very quickly. And I do think it's important to keep in mind that there are a lot of natural remedies that we can use along with some other things as well. And we're going to talk about it. So this article really gets into some of the things that I personally use. So you want to start at the top of the list, Jill?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that they mention is lavender. And the interesting thing about lavender is that essential oils in general, I think, have become like an explosive thing in the quote-unquote natural health and wellness world in the last few years with the advent of, you know, some big companies and multi-level marketing. But essential oils have been around and have been part of the first kind of line of medicine along with herbs for, you know, years and years and years, for a very long time. And I mm-hmm. think everybody's kind of familiar with the pleasant smell of lavender. I mean, most people like the smell of lavender. And the really cool thing about lavender, it does so many things. But like a couple of the other things that we're going to talk about, is that it actually enhances alpha waves in the brain. And the alpha waves in the brain are the ones that kind of help ease the effects of anxiety and depression. And they actually help make us more creative. Like when you're meditating or practicing some sort of mindfulness or prayer, your alpha wave levels go up. Mm-hmm. So even just smelling lavender or applying it, you know, in some oil to your body helps increase alpha waves. And it physically changes the wavelengths that are occurring in the brain. So that's mm-hmm. really powerful.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that I was astounded by, actually, and I've used lavender for years. I love it. I used to use it. There's this. It was a lavender, a eucalyptus blend that I used to spray. You can spray it on your pillow. You have to be careful though, because cats are sensitive to, I believe, both. But the thing in this article that amazed me was this: a 2010 study conducted in Germany suggested that a lavender oil capsule shows similar effectiveness in people with GAD. And I'm not quite sure what GAD is, and I did not look it up before we went live.
GAD is general anxiety disorder.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a generalized
okay.
anxiety condition.
Okay. Well, so lorazepam, which is kind of like, there's a couple different ones, but it's basically like, isn't that the generic form of Valium, if I'm not mistaken? It's in that class of drugs for sure. But it says that it's just as effective in people, or a similar effectiveness, excuse me, in people with GAD as lorazepam, a commonly prescribed anti-anxiety medication. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing to know about this list of kind of quote-unquote natural remedies is that, like I tell with anybody, as soon as you start, like I think anything in your health, as soon as you're starting to notice you're a little off kilter, it is a good time to start with some of these, you know, natural things. And if you're having a hard time controlling anxiety and you're on medication, you can talk to your physician or your preferred healthcare practitioner about potentially using some of these things in conjunction with your pharmaceutical. And so mm-hmm. if you're feeling a little anxious right now, which like you said, a lot of people are, there's a lot of uncertainty and we have a lot of new things that we're learning to do and cope with, you can start with some of these things that are generally regarded as safe, generally benign, generally don't interact with other medications. But to your point, a lot of essential oils are really strong for pets. So you have to be really mm-hmm. smart about that.
Yeah.
But you can start with some of these basics, and it may just help with, you know, the day-to-day processing that you're doing, you know, with the newness, especially like right now, that you're subject to.
Mm-hmm. Well, on this list is L-theanine, which I know you've told me to take before. I have some at my house, but it's basically green tea. And so you can get green tea pretty much anywhere. And let's talk about that for a minute. I want to really give people out there listening today some take-home value of things that they can find in almost any grocery store or, you know, herb market or something like that.
Yeah, so L-theanine is actually an amino acid. The L before a word is how we differentiate an amino acid in science land. So L-theanine is an amino acid that's found predominantly in green tea. And the really cool thing about it is that it, too, actually affects alpha waves in the brain. And the cool thing about it is that you can get the benefit whether you're drinking decaf or regular green tea. And so even if you're drinking green tea in the morning for the antioxidants and the caffeine, the L-theanine can work along with the caffeine for focus, creativity, a bit of dampening of the anxiety, as long as caffeine doesn't trigger anxiety, which for some people actually does. Mm-hmm. And so you have to know that about yourself. But L-theanine in a capsule form is like just extracting that amino acid from the tea leaf, and you can get the benefits at a very low dose, 100 or 200 milligrams. And it's been shown to help, again, with the alpha brain waves, which again help with easing the effect of depression and anxiety and helping with creativity and just kind of helping keep your brain in kind of a chill state, not mm-hmm. like you're zoned out, but preventing it from kind of being stuck in overdrive, which is what anxiety kind of feels like.
Yeah.
You know, you're
yeah.
stuck in gear, your engine's running too hard. It's trying mm-hmm. to help just pump the brakes just a little bit, but not so much that you can't be creative. And that's what I love about L-theanine. So that's a really, you know, there's studies on it in children and in adults. And so it's something, again, it's like you said, a first line of defense. This is something you can get just by drinking green tea, and you can get decaf and make some ice green tea and mm-hmm. enjoy it with your children right now at home.
Yeah.
So it's a great, really practical thing to start with.
Absolutely. And I'm so anti-pharmaceutical, especially when it comes to mind-altering drugs to treat anxiety and depression. Especially antidepressants. They're so damaging to the brain. They really are. And L-theanine or green tea, you know, increases levels of mood-related neurotransmitters, serotonin and dopamine. Those are two really big, what do we call them, Jill? Help me out here.
They're really powerful mood chemicals. And so dopamine yeah. is what keeps us focused, and serotonin is what kind of keeps us happy, you know, to really simplify it.
Right.
And we all could use a little bit of that right now, some focus and some happiness. And it also influences GABA, which is the kind of alpha wave, brainwave effect, you know, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. it kind of calms down that revving inside, that busy brainness, so that you can be productive, but not burn yourself out. And
yeah.
so it just mildly affects those mood chemicals, serotonin, dopamine, and GABA, not in such a strong way that I believe there's any contraindications if you're on a medication that affects those, but it's always good to check with your physician, you know, if you're not sure.
Yeah. Well, holy basil, we're out of time. Damn it, Jim. That's one of the ones we were going to talk about, but you'll have to call in maybe Thursday or Friday, and we'll go through the rest of this list. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We're going to go to break, you guys. We're going to stay on schedule here. Jill Lane, thank you so much. If you want to find Jill, you can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions. That's at Team Fueling Champions, or her website, fuelingchampions.org. We've got Sam Morris and DeJuan Bennett coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio. Lamborghinis and they rented hummus. The party's on, so they're heading downtown. Everybody's looking for a come up, and they want to know what you're about. Me in the middle with the one I love, and we're just trying to figure everything out. Want to sing it with me, Ronaldo?
Can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no
girly action. I don't want girly action. I had the wrong song lyrics. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis. We've got Sam Morris on the line. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project. He specializes in coaching people through early stages of recovery from addiction. Sam is also a certified mindset coach, certified mindfulness practitioner, certified recovery consultant, certified personal trainer, and certified nutritionist. You are certified, Sam.
That I am.
You are. And well, you've been through hell and back. And so, yes, I would imagine you're quite good at what you do as well. And it's so good to have you on the air with us today. We're talking about the similarities between rehab and quarantine. So, you know, I can't wait to talk about this. So you specifically mentioned that one of your 6 stays in rehab, that it felt like quarantine. So can you share what was going on?
Well, yeah, so I was thinking about this the other day, having experienced both. It occurred to me, you know, a lot of it had to do with, you know, the effect that we were having on the world as human beings. And I just noticed that we were behaving like addicts before this quarantine happened, before this COVID happened, in a sense of like, so what would lead up to one of my stays?
Yeah.
And what would lead up to one of my stays in rehab was that I would be over-consuming drugs and alcohol, toxic behaviors, overproducing, just abusing people around me, abusing my environment, my atmosphere, all this stuff. And so I realized that, like, every time I would go to rehab, I basically was being put in quarantine, giving my family a chance to take a breath, giving myself a chance to look at what I was doing, and giving myself a time out to heal, to put myself in quarantine. So, you know, when you go to rehab, you get a chance to take a step back, and it's like they always say, you never end up in rehab on a winning streak.
And say that again. You never what?
You never end up in rehab on a winning streak.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
So every time I would go in, it would just be like, and we were on this course of like the stock market was just skyrocketing out of control. You know, we were consuming out of control with, you know, oils and natural resources, and everything was being depleted. And then I looked at, you know, the canals in Venice and the air pollution over China, and all these things were happening really rapidly since this quarantine started happening, that we're healing, that we're recovering. And it made me think about how my family would, you know, recover and heal when I would be in rehab, and how it was my opportunity to do the same, to look at how I was, where my missteps were happening, what I was overconsuming, why I was overconsuming all these things I was doing. And one of the mistakes that I made was that I always wanted to go back to my old life. I always wanted to say, like, you know what, I'll go to rehab and then I'll just go hop back into my old life like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And in reality, there was no old life. Like, you can never go back and do that, no matter what. But especially coming out of like that addictive behavior, that toxic behavior, you can't go back and just hop in.
Right.
You know, you have to make those changes and make them last. And this is our opportunity to make those changes, to see where we were overconsuming and where we were abusing Mother Nature and where we were abusing each other in relationships and, you know, taking things for granted.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at the paper in front of me and reading specifically that you mentioned one of your 6 stays. So let's talk about that. So one of 6.
Okay.
So clearly the first 5 times didn't work. Can you pinpoint why? Because I think I have a little insight into this, and I think it's big business. Rehab is big business, and I happen to know a little bit about it, as I said, and I think that the most holistic rehabs are the ones that work. Unfortunately, most insurance companies don't pay for them. Is that kind of spot on?
Yeah, so you know how they say the 28 days, right, for rehab is like a lot of rehabs have actually moved away from it, but they're in 28-day increments, just because that's originally what the insurance companies would pay for, was 28 days. Mm-hmm. So that's how that number came about. There was a movie made about it. But so the thing that kept not working for me was that I never had a proper reentry into society. I never had the right expectations, and I never had dealt with what I needed to deal with, as far as it was really my social anxiety.
Yeah.
And I just never wanted to take a look at.
Interesting. But did they treat the whole you? Like, did they address what you were eating, your sleeping habits?
No.
You know, no? Because I feel that's a huge piece of it is the diet.
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. Yeah. I mean, they do provide good food, but they don't implement a nutrition program and a fitness program it's more of like, let's just like, let's get you away from the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
When you boil it down. So yeah, so there is, and that's part of the reentry into society is having those skills, like knowing how to eat well, knowing like when you're hungry and when you're hungry, you're going to get weakened and you're more likely to relapse or give in to the cravings.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hungry. Now there's an acronym. It's HALT. It's notice when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And those are the times that you're going to be most susceptible to picking up a drink again in early sobriety.
Yeah.
And so angry, lonely, and tired are big, or angry and tired are huge things about hunger levels and mm-hmm. physical fitness. So I never had the proper tools. I always felt there was a gap between leaving rehab and what was going on in rehab
mm-hmm.
to going back into the real world.
Wow. Well, what are some of the similarities that you see between rehab and the shelter in place that we're under right now?
I think it's an opportunity for us. You know, it's an opportunity. I feel like Mother Nature put us all in rehab. You know, she felt like we were having such a negative with global warming and
yeah.
like all these negative effects that we had built up over the past, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, this overconsumption of everything.
Yep.
And Mother Nature was just like, you know what, I can't anymore with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
And that's the equivalent of the family saying to the addict, like, we have to put you in rehab for a while. Like, we as a family can't handle this.
Yeah.
And you need to go and look at what you're doing. So the similarity is that this is an opportunity, and I learned this after my last successful rehab, when I really used the opportunity to better myself as a whole. To get into fitness and nutrition and look at all the things of social anxiety. This is our opportunity to come out of this and take a step forward. It's never going to go back. It's never going to go back to the way it was before, no matter what we do. And just like the addict can't step back in that old life, we can't step back. So we have to look at what we can do to move forward.
I agree. There's so many things that, you know, have been happening all over the world, you know, that are wrong. For example, you know, why do we destroy pets that are unwanted and allow other people to continue to breed animals? You know, I often think of that,
yeah.
like how Neanderthal are we in our thinking to allow that to continue, poisoning the earth, the effects and the bad energy from all the animal abuse that's allowed all over the world. I mean, I feel like that's
yeah.
a huge issue that we need to address as human beings, how we treat other living things. Mm-hmm. Right?
I totally agree with you. Yeah, there is a consciousness to everything out there. You know, like when we think of consciousness, we always think of ourselves and human beings as being, you know, conscious beings, but like Mother Nature has clocks, you know, like we have an actual clock with the numbers on it and the dial and all that. But Mother Nature, there's a great quote and it's, you know, Mother Nature has no clocks, but everything gets done.
Yeah.
So Mother Nature has her path and her way of healing things. And that includes the animals, the elephants in India that get abused and
mm-hmm.
the circus animals and the dogs we talked about. And like all of that, we need to bring that gap of how we treat all that stuff. As more of how we treat ourselves. Like,
yeah.
It's all consciousness, it's all mm-hmm. energy, and it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we've created a huge gap.
I was telling a friend of mine a couple of days ago about the book The Awareness by Jean Stone. I don't know if you're familiar with it or any of you out there. Anyone out there listening that's familiar with it, but it is one of the best written, well-written, incredible books about it's basically about animals all over the planet get together and rise above. There's an awareness that they will no longer take the abuse of being a circus elephant or a pig in a feeding lot or a dog that's being abused by its owner and all these different scenarios. It's a brilliantly written book, and it's called The Awareness by Jean Stone, who is really good friends, personal friends with Ingrid Newkirk. I highly recommend it to anyone. And I don't even like fiction, but I couldn't put the book down. I gobbled it up. It's so well written, like so well written.
I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Well, so any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners, Sam?
Yeah, I think that this is a huge opportunity for us, and it's really hard for a lot of people. It was really hard for me. One of the things about my failures after rehab was that I never allowed myself to be a beginner. I never allowed myself to relearn, or I never allowed myself to readjust. So anything that we can do going forward as this normalizes and as we figure out this new way our world is going to be, we have to really sink into allowing ourselves to be beginners in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we don't all have to be masters of this right away because it's going to be so different. So allowing yourself and allowing others around you to be a beginner and to learn and to relearn is going to be massive going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think of a lot of the boomers out there, okay, that had parents that mm-hmm. went through the depression, you know, and wars and things like that. And there's a reason they were the way they were. They were or are, if they're still living. You know, there's frugality is a good thing. You know, it's good to plan ahead. It's good mm-hmm. not to abuse the earth and your finances and other people, and just be more aware of things that you do that affect other people.
Yes, absolutely. That's the awareness and the consciousness is like, how do we affect other people? How do we affect the world around us? And also, you know, that goes both ways. Like, what is the, listen to the earth, listen to the animals, and listen to the other people around you. It's a two-way street that we have to live on.
Well, and we need to hold these, you know, these big companies, you know, responsible for a lot of the problems that we have. And I'm going to put Monsanto right there in the front burner, you know, with the mm-hmm. glyphosate and the DDT and every other, you know, chemical that they've poisoned the earth with and us, consequently. It needs to stop. Mm-hmm. It just really needs to stop once and for all.
I agree. I think it's a very painful lesson for all of us, but I think this coronavirus is the correction that we all needed.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Always love talking to you, Sam. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us, and I hope you'll be back soon.
Absolutely. Would love to be. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. My pleasure. Sam Morris, you can find him at theunbreakablemanproject.com. That's theunbreakablemanproject.com. We're going to go to break. We have DeJuan Bennett coming up. You're going to love him, too, if you've never heard him before. He's a favorite here on One Life Radio. Stay tuned. All-time favorite songs, like a lot of people out there. Oh my gosh, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I've got DeJuan Bennett on the line. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. DeJuan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of DeJuan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. DeJuan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find him on his Instagram page or Facebook at DeJuan Bennett Counseling, or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, DeJuan?
I am okay. How about yourself, Bern?
I'm good. I'm adjusting like everybody to all these, you know, changes every day and just trying to roll with them the best that I can. And I think that that's all we can do, really, right?
Right. So we're in the constant adjustment stage. We're just every day. It's kind of like a new reality for us.
I know. It's kind of, you know, but I love what Sam Morris had to say before, just before you came on. I don't know if you heard it, but he made some excellent points that I think we all need to listen to what his thoughts are, and a lot of other brilliant people out there sharing their thoughts and people stepping up and really realizing that we have a lot to learn, a lot of gratitude for the coronavirus in a very abstract sort of way. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think that a lot of times here's an important fact that people are starting to learn how to be alone with themselves, right? And I think that regardless of it's, you know, as he talked about, our overconsumption of certain things, or just our inability to get distracted with ourselves, meaning that we find other things in our lives to distract us, whether it's hanging with friends, drinking, going to bars, parties, things like that, that we haven't learned to actually enjoy time with our own self and our own thoughts and be able to feel that as something that's fulfilling and productive.
Yeah, well said. You know, I wanted to let people know that we're here to help, too, that you can call us. We're live. We want to hear from you. Call us anytime. You can ask DeJuan a question, me, Ronaldo, whoever you want. And so let's communicate. The number's 214-787-1190. That's 214-787-1190. If you have any questions for any of us, and let's get through this together. I like that attitude, don't you?
I think it's a great attitude because now is the time to communicate. Again, as we talked about, so much of our lives have involved also distractions that when we actually feel anxiety, as Jill talked about earlier, you know, this is, you know, anxiety is normal. We all have a certain sense of anxiety, but what are we doing now with the anxiety we have about the uncertainty of corona and how it affects our jobs, our ability to pay our bills? Yes, we have the stimulus package, but a lot of people are unsure how that actually affects them and if they qualify. So, you know, now's the time to pick up the phone, call friends, call loved ones, check in with people, contact, you know, your mental health provider, you know, contact your priest, your pastor, whoever it is. Just pick up the phone and reach out and allow people to know that you're okay and that you know, you're still here.
Absolutely. And your local radio show.
Yes.
Well, I love the topic that you chose today. What to do when you don't like your partner. It's kind of comical, but a lot of people out there listening can relate. So how do wounded egos get in the way of creating the best relationships with our partner?
You know, one of the tricky parts about our ego is used to reinforce the beliefs we hold about ourselves, right, and our abilities to do certain things. So the problem in relationships is if we have certain beliefs about ourselves. So let's say, for example, my belief about myself is I'm not good enough. Mm. I have an inherited belief about me being not good enough because of maybe childhood experiences in which my parents were constantly telling me I was not good enough, or I was trying a lot of things in life and I felt like I was failing. Then now I take that into a relationship. And while in that relationship, I'm constantly either trying to overcompensate, which means I'm constantly trying to prove to my partner that I'm good enough, or the back end is I'm doing nothing because I feel like no efforts will be recognized or appreciated. And that affects our ability to connect with someone.
Yeah, I would agree. Rinaldo, do you have any thoughts on that? Oh, he's on the other line. Sorry. We must have a caller. We have a caller. That's 214-787-1190. I love doing that radio voice. It's fun to change your voice on the air. I think we do have a question, though, or a call.
Yeah, she wanted to know where she can get some lavender from.
Oh, wow. You know what? During the break, I will look for the best one I can find available, and I'll actually text Jill Lane and let you know. Yeah, before we had Jill Lane on at the opening of the show, Dewan, and, you know, there's so many natural, remedies for anxiety, and lavender is one of the top ones that they listed, along with some other ones. You know, simple things like even passion flower. I've been taking that lately because of my blood pressure being so high. Passion flower is there's lots of studies out there to show that it helps with nervousness and restlessness. And it's a liquid form. And so there's a lot of things out there we can do. And to get back to that, and well, I'll find out and we'll get back to her. What was the name of the listener that called in?
She didn't say.
She didn't say. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. I really do. I love hearing from our people out there listening. But to get back to what we were talking about, what to do when you don't like your partner. How do you know you don't like your partner? Because sometimes I don't think, let me just say this, like and love are very similar, right? Ask you, you're the expert. What's the difference between like and love?
I think like can involve an infatuation for someone. Maybe there's something about them that you feel you lack in now because maybe you lack confidence. So the fact that someone else has confidence, you like the fact that they have confidence.
Okay.
You like the confidence. You may not necessarily like that person, but there's a certain trait about the person that you lack. So therefore, when you see it, you like it. It's something you admire, maybe something you feel like you're missing, or maybe something you're just interested in. Opposed to love, love should be considered a deep understanding of who you are first, right?
Okay.
I have a deep understanding of who I am, and I love you because I feel like you add value to who I am as a person.
But
there's an understanding.
No,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
when you love someone, it's not just about, you know, the physical connection. It's about the mental connection. It's about how they make you feel. It's also how you're willing to pour into them. The things you're willing to do to make them feel better as a person. And it becomes effortless. It's not something that you're doing to impress them. It's something because you care for them deeply. You care for their well-being. You're willing to pour into them in that way.
Yeah, but can't you like... I personally have been... I love several people, lots of people. But sometimes I don't like them. So that's kind of what I was getting at. You know, like, how can you navigate through a relationship where you deeply love someone, but you don't like them sometimes?
I think sometimes you got to think about it as seasonal, right? I think you said it earlier in response to, I forgot who told you the quote, but, you know, how did we stay together so long? Because we didn't love each other. We didn't dislike each other at the same time, right? Yeah. There was different times. And I think you can love someone but not like them. But it's not necessarily that I don't like you. Do I dislike your behavior at that time? Mm-hmm. Do I like how you're representing yourself or showing up today as a person? I love you. I care for your well-being. I want you to be safe. You're an important part of my life. But right now, I don't like you. Maybe, you know, you're leaving, you know, dirty clothes around the house. I don't like that, which makes me feel as if I don't like you because I don't like your actions.
Well, it's disrespectful. Yeah, when someone does that, especially if you have to clean up after them. well, we all do things that other people don't like. I guess what I'm asking is, how do you know when you don't like somebody so much that you need to end the relationship?
I think it's important if you're with somebody and you feel as if, one, there's a lack of boundaries that this person has allowed you to establish for yourself. There's a person who's constantly crossing your boundaries, right? That's a sign that maybe the relationship is probably not the best relationship. It's not a healthy relationship. There's also certain things about, are they controlling? Do you feel like, again, talking to those wounds that we have that affect our ego, do you feel as if this person is triggering you in a way that makes you uncomfortable? Right, whether, you know, the way they speak to you or the fact that they're not showing you any attention or the fact, again, that they're just not validating you as a person. I think sometimes we have to pay attention to our triggers, and our triggers will let us know if something can be successful. I think the unfortunate part of relationships is people typically lead with the good qualities, and rarely do you see those wounds in the beginning. So a lot of times you're kind of sucked into the relationship, and by the time you're 4, 5, 6 months in, and maybe you guys even are living together now, do the person actually start to show you who they truly are?
Well, and a lot of times people will be passive aggressive and they'll argue about something that's really not what you're really arguing about. You want to discuss something that's a little more, a little deeper problem, but you'll pick at them instead of get to the root of the problem. That happens a lot in relationships. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think we pick because for us, I can easily identify the problem that you're doing now, and I can use that kind of as a catalyst to bring up issues, but most people aren't really discussing the real problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm bringing up the fact that you're on your phone, I'm constantly saying, hey, you're on your phone. Okay, but when I put down my phone, we're still having problems. The phone wasn't the issue. It was the fact that we're not communicating.
Yeah.
It was the fact that I'm not making time for you. And I think sometimes people have struggled. They struggle in their ability to really recognize what the problem actually is.
Yeah.
And is it a problem of my partner or is it a problem of myself, right? Is it something that my partner is doing or is it something that I'm struggling with and then I'm projecting those issues or those feelings onto my partner?
Well, and I think it's difficult for men to really express their feelings more so than women for a lot of different reasons. And that in itself can cause a lot of problems. Men really need to just speak from their heart, I think, more often and let their partner know what they're feeling or what they're thinking, because communication, we all know, is absolutely the key to success.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burns, so that's the tricky part, right? So when you say speak from your heart, am I speaking from my true self and who I am as an individual, or am I speaking from my ego? And sometimes it can be confused. Mm. Remember, the ego simply is I. It's me. It's a representation of myself, my beliefs, and my thoughts about myself. So if you tell me to speak from my heart and I'm not really in connection with who I am as a person and how something really affects me, then I'm speaking from my ego. Again, I'm speaking from how I want you to believe I am.
Gotcha.
Or who I want you to believe I am. And that can be tricky for men because we've been conditioned to not cry, to not express ourselves, mm-hmm. to not really say what's on our mind, to be protectors.
Yeah. No, I would agree. This is a fascinating. I love talking about stuff like this. I just do. I think it's so helpful because it gives a lot of people out there listening clarity as to what maybe they could do to fix their relationship. And speaking of relationships right now with the coronavirus, I mean, there's a lot of, I heard that domestic violence is up and a lot of discourse in relationships and things like that. And so maybe when we come back from break, you can give everyone out there listening a little advice as how to navigate with your partner through this crisis. Sound like
sure.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break and we'll be back. When we do, we're going to continue on our conversation with Dewan Bennett, what to do when you don't like your partner. You're listening to One Life Radio.
It's 12 past midnight. Don't close your eyes.
soul's left alive, and I'll be by your side.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I've got Dewan Bennett on the line. I wanted to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go straight to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. You can use the code OLR for 20% off your order. They have amazing products. Check them out at sunwarrior.com. Enviromedica, same thing. I took my Terra Flora Deep Immune this morning. I've been taking it throughout this whole coronavirus thing, and I feel pretty good. And I think that all the combination of everything that I'm using, the liposomal vitamin C, getting vitamin D, trying to get the sleep that I need, that it's all contributing to keeping me well. So things to keep in mind. Also, Wild Foods, such a great company that was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Check them out at wildfoods.com. And Ned CBD, I took it this morning, again, right before the show. It's a full-spectrum hemp oil. Use the code OLR for 15% off. It is an incredible product. It's very well-made. Go to helloned.com and use the code 15 OLR for 15% off, like I said. And of course, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, Paleo Magazine, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Okay, Dewan, let's get back to this. Okay, so what to do when you don't like your partner? So let me ask you this. How can gratitude help shift the way you view your partner?
I think one of the most important choices you can make in a relationship is to focus on what you value in your partner. And so instead of focusing on what we don't value, it's easy to say that, hey, you don't make up the bed, you don't take out the trash, you don't spend time with me. Let's focus on the things that they do that we actually value them for. So whether they're a very good conversationalist, or they stimulate you emotionally, mm-hmm. or they're very good with the children, or whatever it is that makes you value them, I think focusing on that is really important. And, you know, focus on the things that make you fall in love with the person, you know, to start with. And that allowed you then to kind of refocus your conversation with them. So instead of complaining about what you're not getting from them, you're more likely to point out the things that they are doing for you that makes you feel loved, appreciated, and considered.
Mm-hmm. And those are all important things. They really are. And that's actually, those three words really are make a relationship flower.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always tell people compromise, communication, and consideration. Those are like the important three C's in developing healthy relationships, because if you're willing to compromise with a person, then they feel like they're always a priority. They mm-hmm. feel like they're always considered. They feel like, hey, you guys are going to make plans that work for both of you. Of course, communication is the key, because the more we can communicate, the more there's an understanding. And again, like we said, and then with consideration, there's always an understanding that, hey, when you're not with me, you're still thinking of me. And yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. And I think that that's connected to loyalty as well, which is a fundamental part of a relationship.
Yeah, it is, because if you feel like a person's loyal to you, then you don't have to do all the, it helps make you feel more secure, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't feed that insecurity, it feeds a sense of security, because you don't have to worry about what they're doing when they're not in your face. You're not having to worry about who they're spending time with, who they're texting, because you feel like, hey, this person is loyal to me, they're loyal to the relationship, and they're also loyal to our commitment.
I got a question for you,
okay,
Dewan.
Yeah.
I was reading something where a lady was saying that she didn't want to be in a relationship where she had to fix a guy. So what do you do when a person has some personal issues and they're not willing to do the work for themselves?
Great question.
So I think if you're with a person and that value or that issue that they have kind of fights against a core value that you may have, so it's conflicting with a core value, then I think at that point you need to be able to reassess the relationship and see if it's a healthy relationship for you. But if it's something, let's just say, example, that somebody, you know, they're always late, right? And this can be a problem in relationships, right? A person's always late to dinner reservations and things of that nature. You need to be able to look at that person and assess if their tardiness is worth ending the relationship, or if you can kind of relax and say, hey, I know this person means well. They just kind of have monkey minds, so their brain's all over the place. And can I handle their tardiness? I think trying to fix someone is always a recipe for a disaster in a relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because majority of us who feel like we need to fix someone else is only trying to fix someone else to avoid fixing ourselves.
Well, you have to fix yourself in order for it to stick at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
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 You have to do the work yourself. Yeah.
I think you have to learn to make yourself the sole person responsible for your own feelings, right?
Absolutely.
So
yep.
If you're able to say that, I feel this way, not you made me feel this way, but I feel this way, and being able to recognize how you feel about your feelings, how you feel about your behaviors, and how you feel about your happiness, then allows healthy relationships to happen. But if you're constantly saying, hey, if you did this, then it will make me feel happier or better, then again, that can be a recipe for a disaster because
absolutely.
What if that person's not willing to change?
Absolutely. We are out of time, Dewan. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. Really appreciate it. You take care. Stay safe. Everyone, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And the call, I'm going to get the best advice about the lavender oil when I get off the air, and I'll have the answer tomorrow at the opening. Thank you so much for calling. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.